Okay, Ms. Claus? Ms. Claus?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right, can you hear me clearly?
Okay.
Just one second, and we'll start your hearing in just a second.
Okay.
Okay, ma'am, can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Yes, it's Desiree, 293291.
Thank you, ma'am, and good afternoon.
Hello.
You're appearing, just one second. Make sure you get the numbering correct. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the three alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on October 17th, 2017. Is that correct, ma'am?
I signed it as soon as I got here, so.
Okay, we have a form, which is probably the date you got there, but we have a form that you signed on October 17th, 2017. Stating that you would have a board hearing, okay?
Okay.
On that form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Seeing no or hearing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, ma'am?
Well, since I don't have a lawyer present, I guess so.
Okay, again, ma'am, if you want an attorney, that would have to be at your cost. There's not one provided to you by the government, okay?
Yeah, I can afford that.
Thank you, ma'am. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. You cannot see us, but we have three voting board members today. In the room is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. My name is Louis Quinones. I'll be the panel chairman for this hearing. Also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Osborne. He'll be representing the Department of Corrections, as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So Ms. Claus and Mr. Osborne, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm? Ms. Claus.
Thank you.
Right.
I do, sir.
Thank you. Ms. Claus, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. When I read the allegations, you need to respond whether it is true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections and then we can talk about it. The board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions during this phase one. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, ma'am. I'm going to begin by reading from the warrant. According to the warrant of arrest, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse into criminal ways or company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number seven is demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about March 20th, 2017 for the task GCMS lab report dated March 27th, 2017. Ms. Claus, is this true or false?
That's true, but my parole officer did not violate me.
Okay. Ma'am, for this portion of the hearing, we're just going to ask you whether they're true or false, and then you'll get to talk to the board in detail during the second phase, okay?
Okay.
Okay, this is the second allegation. Allegation number two, violation of condition number seven, as demonstrated by providing a urine specimen that was adulterated by dilution and unsuitable for testing on or about April 10, 2017, for the task lab report dated April 11, 2017. Ms. Claus, is this true or false?
That's true.
Thank you, ma'am. And allegation number three, violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by your failure to maintain contact with your assigned parole officer on or about April 12, 2017. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you an absconder from supervision. Ms. Klaus, is this true or false?
Can you repeat that, please?
The whole sentence?
The third one?
Yes. Allegation number three, violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by your failure to maintain contact with your assigned parole officer on or about April 12, 2017. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you are an absconder from supervision. Ms. Klaus, is that true or false?
That's false.
Okay. Based on your position that is false, we will take further testimony from our community corrections officer, and then we will get back to you shortly, Ms. Klaus.
Okay.
Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Allegation number three. On April 17th of 2017, this officer received a discharge letter from the offender's approved residence, Beaver Halfway House, located at 7113 North 66th Drive, Glendale, Arizona, 85301. The discharge letter was dated April 13th of 2017. The letter stated the offender was discharged for her failure to comply with Beaver Recovery House rules on April 12th of 2017. The offender has failed to maintain contact with her assigned parole officer since her departure from her approved residence. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, thus she is an absconder from supervision. Follow-up number three. On April 17th, 2017, P.O. Smith attempted a telephonic contact with the offender's emergency contact, which is her mother. This officer received no answer and no automated voicemail to leave a detailed message. On April 17th of 2017, P.O. Smith called the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office and confirmed that the offender was not incarcerated in their jail system. On April 17th of 2017, P.O. Smith contacted the Banner Desert Medical Center and spoke to the hospital employee who stated the offender was not a patient. P.O. Smith knows of no other person, family, or friends to contact in an attempt to locate the offender.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Okay, Ms. Klaus, just so that we're clear, when we say that you're an absconder from supervision, we mean that you were missing or ran away from supervision. So what is false about this allegation?
Well, as soon as I got the human, I called my parole officer and told him I ran and the reason why I ran. And so I don't see that as, you know, trying to hide that I ran from him. I called him as soon as I got to my mom's house.
Okay, ma'am. We're going to, let me say this quick remark, and then we're going to move through phase one to phase two, and you'll have a chance to talk more with the board in detail. But it may be true that you contacted your parole officer, but it is a condition of your supervision to maintain contact with your parole officer. So simply telling him that you were going to be missing or ran away does not excuse you from supervised release. So if you'll just hold on, I'm going to get through phase one, and then we'll have a chance to speak more to the board during phase two. Just give me 1 second, because I have to fill out a little bit of paperwork. Based on admissions by Ms. Klaus for allegations one or two, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections and the information on warrant number 2017W1291, and regarding allegation number three, based on the warrant information in 2017W1291, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to find her delinquent as she violated the terms and conditions of her supervision and that she may have or have lapsed in criminal ways or company.
Second. Agree.
Okay, Ms. Fowles, we're going to move forward with the second phase of the hearing, and as I said, you'll have a chance to speak with the board more during the second half. During this phase, we'll determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked, but before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Osborne, our community corrections officer, is going to give us background information. We will come back to you momentarily, so Ms. Claus, if you can just stay on the phone, we will speak to you in a moment, okay?
Okay.
Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Ms. Claus was released from DOC custody on March 10th of 2017. She was arrested on October 2nd of 2017 by the Mojave County Sheriff's Office on her Scott Norm status, and was returned back to our custody that same day with 173 Abscond days, with a community supervision end date of January 1st of 2018. Current conviction, 2014 domestic violence 1 year, 2014 drug paraphernalia violation 6 months, 2014 domestic violence 1 year, and 2014 drug paraphernalia violation 1 year. She has 1 term with DOC, has a CUIR score of 3-4, a mental health score of 2, and a substance abuse score of 2. There is SCG and gang information noted. She admitted to associating with the Featherwoods and White Pride gangs and Aryan Brotherhood in Arizona. Prior term supervision, none. She has a moderate disciplinary history with violence noted. Other arrests, 2011, domestic violence, Arizona misdemeanor conviction probation. 2012, domestic violence, Arizona misdemeanor conviction probation. 2013, drug paraphernalia violation, AZ unknown. And 2014, dangerous drug violation, AZ unknown. And she has a community risk score of G3B1.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Back to you, Ms. Claus. I'm going to go through a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like you were released to the approved residence at TLC 132 South Robeson, Mesa, Arizona. You were discharged from TLC in March of 2017. Then you were sanctioned to reside at Vivre, located at 7113 North 66th Drive in Glendale. You were discharged from Vivre based on your failure to comply with Vivre house rules. No other residence was reported. You were referred to the Maricopa Skills Center, but we have no verifiable employment, so were you working at all when you were outside of the prison system, Ms. Claus?
There's no way I could work, sir. I am supposed to get a check for my disabilities, and I couldn't do that.
And I'll be careful regarding your privacy, but what can you say generally what sort of disability you have?
I have severe mental disabilities, sir. I've had a check since I was 10 years old.
Okay, I'll just leave it at that. According to your programming notes, you did have a positive for methamphetamine. Have you had an ongoing issue with drug abuse or methamphetamine, ma'am?
For a while, but I'm fine now.
Do you take the methamphetamine because you think it helps you?
No, sir.
Okay.
I'm just an addict.
Well, thank you for being honest with the board and acknowledging that you're an addict certainly is a step towards your recovery. You were missing from community supervision for 173 days, ma'am. So what were you doing during that time?
Well, my mom, she was sick. She had a pacemaker put in. My father has sclerosis of the liver. And they have custody of my daughter. And so they asked me to come up and try to take care of them, and my husband is supporting all of us at the moment. So, and one of the reasons why I ran from parole is because you guys told me to stay away from him. And how am I supposed to stay away from him if he is my only means of support?
Well, I feel for your, I mean, that's unfortunate that you're in that position, but certainly that sounds like it is a condition of your supervision. and a condition that you would have to live by. So I guess you sort of already answered the question, pardon me, ma'am. But so this is, you're saying that's why you did not maintain contact with your parole officer.
Yeah, and because I was also scared that if I, because he asked me to come back to Mesa and talk to him. There's no way I can come back to Mesa. My mother's sick, my father's sick, and I had no way to get back there. So.
I'm listening, ma'am.
So that's why I didn't come back, is because I had no way back there.
I'll ask this because there's quite a bit of notation in your criminal history, but there seems to be several domestic violence incidents. What were those about?
They have to do with me and my husband, but since then we've gone to counseling, and you know it's better. It's gotten better. The truth of the matter is, when I'm on meds, I'm very violent, and I do know I got a problem, and I'm trying to get over that, but it's hard, you know.
So. Thank you, ma'am. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Yes, Ms. Rittenhouse.
So Ms. Klaus. Without being too intrusive, but when you take meds, it says, you say they make you violent?
Certain situations, then.
I see. But are the meds, they're not, are they?
Huh?
What type of meds? Are they for your meant for your disability?
No. No.
Like seizure meds?
I don't know.
I've
just always done it. It's more of a bad habit than anything, you know? And it could possibly be the people I'm around also.
So the meds are not meds prescribed by a doctor that you're talking about?
The meth?
Oh, meds, medications.
You're talking about meth.
Yes.
Oh, okay. See, I misunderstood. I thought you said meds, M-E-D-S,
no.
Like medications.
No, I don't take meds.
Okay, I'm sorry then. So the meth makes you violent, and I understand that is one of the effects of that.
Yes.
Okay, what do you think you can do about that? What are you going to do about it?
Well, see, the thing about being an addict, you can't ever get over that. You just have to try to have a family support and just try to be not around those kind of people and stuff. And so that's what I'm trying to do, but it's really hard, you know?
Yeah, we understand that, and we wish you obviously the best, because that's a very difficult thing that you're doing, but keep at it. Thank you, Mr. Kidd.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Ms. Klaus, we're getting closer to the end of our hearing. Just a quick question, and I'm not trying to implicate your husband, but does he use methamphetamine too? Is that part of the problem?
Sometimes.
I guess I only bring that up because at the end of the day, a big part of this problem is being around it and the people you hang around, so I'm not suggesting anything in your personal life about your husband as much as that if you both have a problem, you're both going to have to confront it, or you're going to end up in the same cycle over and over again.
Yeah,
no one wants to see that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, ma'am.
He's the one that's taking care of my family and my kid right now, so he's doing pretty good right now.
Okay. So. We'll hope that things work out. We're getting close to the end of the hearing, so is there a last statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We really ask that you don't repeat yourself in the interest of time management. Okay, thank you, ma'am. The board is going into discussion now. It may sound like we're talking to you, especially because we're on the telephone and you can hear us, so we operate in an open meeting. But it'll be the board talking to each other before we come to our individual votes and make a decision. So if you'll just remain quiet for a little while, stay on the phone, you can listen to the discussion, and we will give you our decision shortly. Okay, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. We're now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is an unfortunate case and tragic in as much that Ms. Klaus is struggling with some disabilities, perhaps struggling with some drug addiction issues with methamphetamines, which we well know is a big problem in the community and out in the street. Certainly we encourage her to seek whatever drug treatment is available to her or counseling, whether it's inside of DOC or in the community. I will say she only has 54 days left of her prison sentence. It's pretty obvious that community supervision did not work out for her. I don't find her suitable for community supervision in that she's very direct about wanting to go her own way regarding her family. She's mentioned several times that her husband is taking care of the family, but then she has restrictions on her community supervision to make contact with him. And I will say, in the interest of both public safety and her well-being, I think these last 54 days would be best spent with her putting together a plan for a safe transition back to the community and hopefully seeking drug treatment. Again, taking advantage of whatever programming is available inside the Department of Corrections and hopefully continuing programming outside of the system. And that's where I'd like to begin the discussion.
I agree
with you.
Thank you, fellow board members. Therefore, I'm going to make a motion, and that is based on the information provided in warrant number 2017W1291, our discussion with Ms. Klaus, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Ms. Klaus was delinquent, violated terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in a Cornwallzer company inasmuch that she had continued drug use and absconded from community supervision. We could not monitor her actions outside of the prison system. And that's my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, Ms. Klaus, your supervision has been revoked, but you will be released on or about January 1st, 2018, again, that's 54 days away. That's a matter of days. We encourage you to take advantage of these last days to put together a plan for your return to the community. When you come out, you'll be of your own free will. You'll be able to make your own choices. There'll be no community supervision or parole officer. And we just sincerely hope that you seek treatment and take measures to take care of yourself so that you can have a productive life in the community. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place. And if you could, we'd really appreciate if you'd give the phone to your CO3. Thank you for appearing before this board.
Okay, thank you, sir.